Question everything.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Question Everything with your girl, Kelsey. This episode, we are going to go into what really happened on 9/11. And I'm not going to promise that the whole episode will be about 9/11 because you guys have seen how off topic I have gotten, and I'm sorry. But the main theme of this episode will be talking about the conspiracy theory of 9/11 because today is 9/11. I mean, for you guys it is, but I'm recording this on 9/10. But of course, before I do get into it, I want to pay my respects to all the families that were affected by this tragic event. And I don't mean any disrespect by talking about this conspiracy theory. I just thought it would be an interesting topic to talk about since it is 9/11. Okay, so you guys know the drill. The tea is brewing hot this morning. Okay, so first and foremost, Netflix. Netflix, what are you doing? So Netflix released two things that I want to talk about. And the first one being Cuties. And I know you guys saw this coming. You probably saw my post. Probably saw it trending right now. It's trending on Twitter right now. I think the hashtag is cancel Netflix or something like that. But anyway, so Cuties is supposedly a movie about this little girl who breaks free from her conservative family's belief and explores expressive dancing. And okay, look, I'm not conservative per se. I think women should have the right to express themselves however they want or whatever they do. However, this isn't a movie about women. This is a movie about little girls, like 10-year-old girls. And the problem I have with this is how sexualized they are making them. Like, even the picture I posted, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it's, no. So, I used to be a dancer, and at my dance competitions, I'd say that most of my costumes were very covered up. That was also around the year 2007, 2008, and I feel like ever since then, I feel like each year the costumes get more, I don't know a better way to describe them, but they get more exploitative, I guess? I can't think of the word right now, but you get what I'm saying. Like, these little girls now, like, this year, are in, like, crop tops, booty shorts, and I never had a costume like that. I think the closest I got was probably, like, off the shoulder or something like that. And I don't mean to sound like a Karen, or maybe I'm just getting old, but it just doesn't sit right with me. And even in, like, Dance Moms, you could see, like, their costumes are way different. And my little cousins, who are 6 and 9 years old, they are in competition too now, and their costumes are literally just the booty shorts and like a bra. I'm like, what? I never wore that. And I'm telling you, like, each year it gets worse. So in this movie, there's a scene where they're dancing on stage and they grab their woo-ha and crawl on the floor, and they're wearing the crop top costumes. And that's the picture I posted on my Instagram, because someone tweeted, like, how is this not related to pedophilia? And I just think they're trying to normalize it or desensitize not only to the public, but especially to the little girls. So they'll think, oh, this is okay. And it's not only on Netflix. Like I said, it's in the dance world. And I'm also seeing this a lot on TikTok. Like 8 to 10-year-old little girls singing along to very sexual music. I saw this one video of this guy saying this is the problem because he duetted this girl who was singing this song. I don't remember what song it was, but it was like, come over and let me, you know, it was very sexual. I'm not going to sing it. But anyways, the little girl was like lip singing to it and like dancing to it. And then this guy duetted it and he was like, see, this is the problem. Like, they think this is normal. And then we're normalizing it by egging it on and saying this is cute. A lot of people in the comments of his video duetting it said, I don't see a problem with this. She's just singing. Like, let a girl be. It's just a rap song. Like, get your sick mind out of the gutter. But, like, Honestly, I'm kind of siding with a guy that's saying that this is not okay because we are allowing for these little girls or the public to think this is okay and this is cute, but it's not. It shouldn't be normalized. I mean, this kind of ties into the next film that I'm going to be talking about that Netflix released about social media. And, you know, I always said, like, yeah, I'm going to let my kids have phones when they're young. Of course, I was a lot younger and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be the cool parent. I'm going to let my kids have phones when they're like 5, you know? But now, like, I don't really want my kids to have phones until they're like maybe in high school. Like, not only does this stuff happen, but also the psychological impacts and the mental health impacts, it's insane. And I'll get into that. But I, like I said, I'm not trying to sound like a Karen or, like I said, maybe I'm just old now. But now that I know how prevalent these pedophiles are, it just hurts watching that. And I'm not just saying that this happens to just little girls, because I know that boys have been victims too. And speaking of boys, there was actually another television series that came out like 3 days ago. It was on a different streaming service, and it's about a high school teacher falling in love with her student and making this a whole romantic series about how the teacher fell in love with her student and all this stuff, basically desensitizing pedophilia. And now that I think about it, Pretty Little Liars did the same thing when Aria fell in love with her teacher. Her teacher's name was Ezra. And I think she was like 15 in the show, or 16, and Ezra was obviously like 24, 25. I don't know, man. Like, I just see these things kind of different now, because back then, like, obviously I just overlooked it. I never thought anything of it. I thought maybe it's a little creepy, but like, okay, you do you, boo, kind of thing. But now I'm just like, bro, this seems to be the trend. Also in Riverdale, one of the students fell in love with his teacher. And how most teenage boys are like, oh, like, did you bang your teacher or whatever? Our teacher's so hot. I mean, I know it happens in college, but I feel like college is different. But like high school, I don't know. It's just a lot of stuff that I can point out now and that sticks out to me. And it's funny because people are saying that cuties is not that bad. Some people are saying that we're too sensitive and that this is just another right-wing issue, or like only the right-wing people and the QAnon people are getting mad at this. But, oh God, I love that argument. It's just so funny because it's literally just having a sense of compassion for kids and realizing the real issues going on. But let's not get into that. I'm just going to go on a rant if I do. Okay, so the other movie Netflix release that I was going to talk about is called The Social Dilemma. If you follow me on Twitter, I did live tweet yesterday while I was watching it. I didn't finish the whole thing. I think I have like 10 minutes left. But towards the end, I got really annoyed, and I'll tell you why. This is what I mean when you have to be careful trying to find out the truth, because they will muddy up the waters real quick. This documentary started out by them exposing / explaining how much social media dictates our lives and how each company does this to keep us addicted. And I mean, I learned about this in school because social media was my concentration, and we would study the psychology of ad placements, screen time, the effects it has on our psyche in regards to mental health. Like, this stuff is insane. I wrote like a 10-page paper on it, but these people actually worked at Google, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. And obviously they left. Like, the first 5 minutes in, the guy goes, I left Google for ethical reasons. So I was like, okay, I'm hooked. Let's go. So obviously I wanted to watch the rest. And it is very informative, has really good points, and I agree with most of the beginning. However, it wasn't until they hit the midway point of the film where they started talking about conspiracy theories. They were saying Pizzagate is fake, the COVID hoaxes are killing people, and talked a heavy amount of time on conspiracy theories, and I think that was their whole point of this film. I don't think they were trying to exploit the negative side effects or the negative impact social media has on our generation. I think they were really just trying to twist the narrative in a way that will get you hooked, because I was hooked in the beginning, and then get you to understand how addicted they have made you and make you believe that everything you've watched or read online is fake. They were basically making us, or me, because I'm a heavy believer, sound like an idiot and sound like I just read everything online and I immediately believe it. But I hope by now everyone knows not to trust anything that they read on the internet, question everything, which is why I also personally prefer books. I think 85% to 90% of my research comes from all my books. I use the internet as a resource to validate some of the statements said in the books, or to further gather information about a certain study, documents, etc. And even then, I still question it. But Pizzagate and everything that they claim was controlling the masses in this grand conspiracy theory trend is actually most of the stuff I read in books that were well written before the internet was popping. Like in Behold the Pale Horse was written in 1991. And I mean, I know the internet was around then, but it wasn't like social media everywhere, YouTube everywhere, you know? I know you guys have seen me argue with people on that a lot, especially on TikTok, when they say, you believe everything you see on the internet, you just use Google as your resource. I love how people just assume so much about you. And then I whip out all these books. And then their argument then is, oh, but you trust these books, you trust these authors. There's like no point in wasting my energy trying to explain all this. Like, I'm really just doing this to help out the public, to help out the population, but you know, it's fine. Like I said, I encourage you guys not to believe me, and you guys should go do your own reading and digging, because I am not going to have all the right answers, but I've said that multiple times, and I know the people who listen to my podcast know that, and I appreciate you guys for not belittling me or attacking me, but I know the people who just see my videos on their For You page are like, who's this girl? Why does she think she knows everything? But I appreciate you guys. And then another book, for example, David Icke, he released this year in August, and I trust David Icke. I mean, way more than I trust the internet. Of course, we still have to question everything. I don't agree with everything he says, like how he says the moon is fake. I don't agree with that, but he does talk about how COVID was planned, especially in his newer book, and Pizzagate is real, yada yada, everything else. So honestly, now I'm just annoyed because they're playing this game so well. They made it seem as if social media was psychologically manipulating us into believing these conspiracy theories, which will have people questioning themselves now, at least the people who listen to my content or don't really dig into this stuff as much and just have seen something and were like, hey, I'm kind of interested in seeing more about Pizzagate or whatever. And now they're just going to start questioning and saying, well, maybe this is just a right-wing propaganda, you know? And people like that are just going to take this and run with it and use this statement as an argument. Example, yesterday my brother asked me, I asked if he's watched this documentary. Obviously, it came out yesterday, so. And then I said at the end, I was like, never mind, I didn't like it. And he said, why? Because they debunk your conspiracy theories? Oh, God. And I was like, I'm gonna have to fight all these people coming up. They're gonna watch this and then come at me. Just watch. I bet you next episode I'll be like, how many people mentioned me in the comments or something? Like, have you watched this documentary? But honestly, they're putting up a good fight, and I'm not going to back down. I'd rather be proven wrong, like 100%, than be silent and let the world crumble. I mean, even though, like I said, I don't have that big of an audience, but I know you guys have friends, and you guys probably talk about this amongst yourselves, so I'm just trying to open the minds of the public. Also, if you think about it, they do have good points, like I said. I do agree that social media has done a lot of damage to our psyche, and the way they describe the addiction we have is almost the same, if not the exact same, as a drug addiction or gambling addiction. And that just validates that we aren't paying attention. We are so distracted by these devices that we don't even take a second to look outside our window and enjoy the present moment. And don't tell me that I'm wrong, because like, even in my family, sometimes we're just like, damn, we literally just sit on the couch on our phones, all of us. Because most of the time, now that I've warned my parents about everything, we don't really watch the news. We just watch it for entertainment sometimes. But most of the times we're just sitting on the couch all on our phones, like not talking to each other. And it's so sad. We are so distracted. There was this man who used to be an engineer at Apple, and apparently he ended up quitting. He moved out to the mountains in a trailer. He doesn't own a single piece of electronics, and he was an engineer at Apple. And apparently he writes letters to his family now, and of course everyone thinks he's crazy, but in all the movies, like 2012 or I don't know what other movie, but any movie that there's a crazy person, they usually turn out to be right. Also, like the crazy man in Roswell, New Mexico in the show, he ended up being right about the aliens. So just saying, crazy people are kind of smart. But apparently this guy, I saw a TikTok, because you guys just tag me in TikToks and those are the ones I watch. And he found out something. Okay, so the TikTok was that this girl was explaining that her uncle was the engineer at Apple, and apparently he found out something about how the AIs are basically taking over the world, or he found out something in regards to that, and it makes sense. And apparently everyone thinks he's crazy, but honestly, even in this documentary, they make a good point about how AIs aren't just robot people, how you think, like Karen from SpongeBob. If you know, you know. They are simply computers with a brain, like a laptop with a brain. Well, actually, it's like a tower. So it's like a tower. They even show the computers that they have at Google, like a little clip of it. It's insane. And the guy was like, it's so complex that they call it intelligence. So AI, artificial intelligence, duh. Wow, I'm stupid. That's how they get all of our information and how they set up these algorithms tailored specifically for us to keep us on. And I mean, we've all seen it and we've been new because of TikTok. Like, I feel like a lot of people on TikTok realize how addicting it is, and I can spend an ungodly amount of time on TikTok. But we won't talk about that. All I'm saying is that we are aware of these things, yet we're still doing them. Even they were saying that. They were like, we programmed these apps and we programmed these social media platforms, yet sometimes I can't even get off my phone. We're not as fully aware as we think we are. And that's scary. It's especially coming from people who designed this device. Like, it's crazy. Also, I just want to add one more thing. Because we are talking about Netflix. The CEO of Netflix is the nephew of Edward Bernays, who was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, who we all know worked with the bad guys. And Edward Bernays was the guy who persuaded the public to believe that fluoride was good for us. So, I mean, the dots connect. And, I mean, some people say, but there's a lot of documentaries on there, too, that really expose, like, the Freemasons and all that, and they expose some of their plan. But like I've mentioned in many episodes, and I think I answered one of the questions of the week, like 2 weeks ago or last week, I don't even know what day it is, where I said that they do that for many reasons. Consent is a big one. They openly admit that 95% of their plan is out there, and they will put it out there so it's unbelievable. But yeah. So next up on the tea, I saw this TikTok yesterday. Oh God. I just said I spent an ungodly amount of time on TikTok and now I'm talking, okay, leave me alone. anyway, so the girl was saying that she saw this commercial on TV about Soul Connects, and it's C-O-N-N-E-X. And basically it's this website where you can sign up to get a test to find your true soulmate. And she said the commercial was so short, but she was so intrigued, so she looked into it. And the way she was explaining it was so creepy. So I went onto the website, and what they do is they use your left cornea, because they claim that our soul lives in our left eye, and gather information to find our soulmate. Not only that, but the device they use sounds quite similar to something I talk about frequently. Let me just read off what their website says. So it says, our patent technology looks for your soul particle found in your left eye. Because the particle transmits a unique quantum frequency and exists in two people simultaneously, we can help you find your scientifically proven soulmate. Scientists studying the Boston Higgs particle and the Hadron Collider discovered a field that was affected by their own presence. Within that field was a subatomic particle that only exists in humans, dubbed the soul particle. It's found at the base of the cornea of the left eye. Each particle is distinguished by its own frequency and assigned a unique quantum number. In the years following the discovery, anecdotal evidence shows that humans who share the same particle develop a unique bond. So, who else has a Hadron Collider? Like, I'm kind of freaked out, not gonna lie, because this matches up. Like, this is a legit website. Like, I signed up just to see what would happen to find my soulmate, but they have to email you to see if you're compatible for their machine. So I'm still waiting to hear back. Of course, I'm not gonna do it. I mean, maybe, but I mean, your girl's lonely, but I'm kind of scared. Like, it's the same Hadron Collider at CERN. I mean, it's the same name, kind of. I mean, the only difference is it's called Boston Higgs. I don't know if that's a part of the Hadron Collider at CERN or not. I should have probably researched that. I'm sorry. But anyways, we know what the Hadron Collider at CERN does, which alters consciousness and creates clones. So are they just luring people in with the narrative of finding love so they can steal their souls? And this also ties in with, I don't know if you guys remember me talking about Ashlyn Kennedy. She kept repeating, my iris is your iris. And she kept repeating a certain number that they gave her. And what does the website say? They say that our souls have a number. Now I'm starting to question if at one point in time, did they alter our consciousness already without us even realizing it? Because she claimed that they cloned her. They gave her this number, which is a patent, a Google patent. And then her soul, and that her soul is in her eye. So did they do that with everyone? Now we're all like AIs? Did they stop time somehow? I don't know. I know I have an out of this world point of view, but you kind of have to ask these questions at this point when things connect like this. The video that they show on their website is also super creepy. And the way they show the eyeball looks like a robot, and it's like green and it's creepy. Anyways, I'm gonna have to look more into that because that just blew my mind. Okay, so on to some celebrity tea. All right, the one I got questions on the most this week, the Kardashians. I just find it quite interesting that the Kardashians canceled their show as it's getting closer to the elections. I mean, it might not have anything to do with that, but is Kanye even running for president anymore? I was trying to see if I could find some sort of connection between all the celebrities being exposed or some sort of gematria pattern, but nothing really stood out to me. I mean, we know that Kim has been pictured with Marina Abramovic, who is the queen of spirit cooking. And if y'all don't know what spirit cooking is, I think I've talked about it, but it's basically cannibalism and they claim it as art. Who, might I add, was also in the Podesta and Clinton emails. There's an email where she invited them to a spirit cooking dinner, but she literally called it spirit cooking dinner. Dinner, bro. Like, the art itself is just called spirit cooking, so dinner. So I don't know if I trust the Kardashians. I mean, a lot of celebrities have been pictured with Abramovic. And plus, the Kardashians have a curse. Apparently, remember I talked about that, how they have apparently ties to witches and their ancestors were witches or something. And now everything going on with Kanye. I mean, I did find an article about how Kanye wanted Kim to quit Keeping Up with the Kardashians months ago. I don't know if it had anything to do with his outbreak that he had, or was this before he wanted to run for president? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with any of this crazy stuff, but it's just interesting timing considering everything else going on, especially because all the celebrities are kind of being exposed. And apparently Ellen and her show is not canceled anymore, and she's going to make a comeback. And I'm kind of mad about it, not going to lie. She said that she's going to address the issues. And honestly, I'm 100% sure she won't even mention the pedophilia allegations, but she's just going to address the allegations of her mistreating her coworkers or her workers and make some bullshit up. Honestly, I'm just tired of celebrities because they're going to use some kind of emotional tactic. And like Ashton Kutcher when he cried at court. I saw this other TikTok, that went viral about how people were praising Ashton and everyone was duetting it and saying, oh my God, he's one of the good ones. Look at him. Like he's crying. And everyone's like, aw. I was like, guys, I know I sound kind of like an insensitive bitch, but don't fall for these tears. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I connect things to an extensive level. But I feel like it's common sense for me now, just looking at all the puzzle pieces and everyone involved, and it just makes sense. You know, maybe I just see through the manipulation now and people still can't grasp that. But I mean, like I said, I'm not going to waste my energy anymore trying to explain. So on to some other news. I told you the tea was brewing hot this morning. More kids have been found who are missing, and I think it's crazy that the mainstream media is not talking about this. I mean, we know why. At this point, I'm not even surprised. Britney Spears is working with an organization called Project Rose, apparently. And everyone on TikTok is freaking out about it because it claims to be an organization to help child trafficking. However, when she was explaining this, she mentioned that she wore a certain shirt 17 times because it had some significance to do with her working for Project Rose. But she was acting so weird throughout the video, and I think she took it down. But she was looking as if someone was, like, watching her say this, and she just looked paranoid. Some people said she looked like she was high. So I tried to look into Project Rose, and the only thing that came up was, like, a really sketchy website. It didn't look very legit, but it did say child trafficking or whatever. But then another thing that popped up was the Rose Files. And people were making ties to that because apparently there's ties to MK Ultra with the Rose Files, which MK Ultra is the mind control that the elite use to manipulate these people to do things and control the celebrities and the presidents and anyone else that they want to use MK Ultra on. I might be reaching because Project Rose and the Rose Files aren't exactly the same thing. But once I saw that there was ties to MK Ultra and pedophilia, because Project Rose has ties to this incident that happened, I think in like the 90s or 80s, where this guy from the Air Force, he raped and killed a 3-year-old, but he doesn't remember anything. He like blacked out and no one believes him. But it later was found that he was under MK Ultra and he was experimenting for like an LSD type of MK Ultra because there's different, I guess. There's like the hypnotized one, the LSD one. And I don't know how many versions they have, but basically he was under mind control, which is just scary. If they can basically black you out and control your mind and make you do these awful things, like what else have they done if this was long ago? So I thought maybe Britney was referring to this because it's MKUltra and maybe she kind of just threw that word out, Rose, so we can Google it and maybe figure it out that she's under MKUltra. I don't know. I believe that whoever is Britney Spears' handler has her under some kind of mind control or something. And this Project Rose claims to be, like I said, the child trafficking organization. But also when I looked into this, a bunch of different things came up. There's also an Amazon warehouse called Project Rose, and it's a huge warehouse. And that's kind of scary because we know that after the Wayfair situation, a lot of us found different items on Amazon that cost like $30,000 when it was like a kid's toy or something. So, I mean, I don't doubt that Jeff Bezos is in on it. I mean, he is. We all know that. But this is just so crazy. Like, everything's connecting. Okay, so last thing that I want to talk about, and then we'll get into 9/11. So apparently yesterday or 2 days ago, there was a leaked audio tape of Trump saying he knew how deadly this virus was, but he played it down. And I'll play it for you, but look, I'm not trying to defend Trump, but I am going to be devil's advocate and probably will continue to be devil's advocate. I think it's a great tool to have an open mind. Also because this stuff shouldn't be taken lightly. We all know the media is manipulative and they have the power to cut and edit audio as they do with the video. And they've done that to a lot of his speeches. I will give him that. So what did they do here? Like maybe it was cut, but at the same time, his statements are pretty clear. Another question I have is, I have seen people say this audio was from March, but others say it was from February. So when really was it? He does say in the audio that the virus is worse than the flu and he wants to play it down. And if he really did say it then, it just gets me mad because of how many people lost their lives, how many families were affected by this. And if he really did have the power to prevent it or stop it, like why didn't he? Which just leads me to think that he is manipulative, which I been knew, which my gut was telling me all along. But I mean, I really wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. I really wanted to be wrong in the end, you know? I mean, it's still not the end, so I could be proven wrong in the end. I don't know. This stuff is just letting me down. Let me play it. And before I do want to say that the video shows two different parts. Like, it shows the audio compared to what he's told the public. It's hard when you don't have the visuals and you're listening to a podcast. The part where it sounds like he's on the phone, that's the audio that they recorded. And the clearer sounding audio is what he told us in June.
This is more deadly. This is 5% versus 1% and less than 1%. You know, so this is deadly stuff.
We show cases, 99% of which are totally harmless.
Not just older.
Yeah, exactly.
Young people to plenty of young people.
Young people are almost immune to this disease.
It's also more deadly than your strenuous flus.
We lose thousands and thousands of people a year to the flu. We don't turn the country off.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
So you get what I'm saying, how it sounded like two different audios and he was contradicting himself, because the audio that they captured, he was in an interview or he was just talking with a journalist and the journalist captured that. And then the other audio was from a briefing in June and another briefing in August and another interview he recently had about how he doesn't think the younger people can get it or how it's not as bad as the flu or something like that. Basically very contradicting. So see, like, I don't know. I mean, there wasn't much context to this other than, like I said, he was talking to the journalist named Bob Woodward. And this journalist said he didn't want to release this sooner until his book came out. And his book comes out, I think, on the 15th. And he talks about Trump. It's all about Trump. It's called Rage. I think I might get it just to see what he's talking about. And no, he's not anti-Republican or he's not a Democrat, because I know that I said I don't listen or I don't try to research from people who are biased, because he also wrote a book about how the wars Obama created were destructive and stuff. So maybe he is spitting facts, but I don't know. Gotta question everything. Okay, now the guest of the hour. 9/11 was an inside job. So this shit is crazy. And honestly, it's going to sound like I'm exaggerating or looking way too much into it. But at this point, I don't think anything is reaching, considering how powerful some of their symbolism alone is, how I explained in other episodes. So I'm going to be talking about the gematria first, and then we'll get into what happened. Also, I think I've been saying gematria wrong, because I've heard people say gematria or gematria. But I'm just going to stick to saying gematria. So what is it? Very few people outside of the elite know anything about gematria. Like I said, some people do know how to calculate it. Like I think Mo does, Mo Othman. And I think the person who predicted Chadwick Boseman's death, because he just said it was simple gematria that the elite use. So it's the ancient Kabbalistic practice of coding numbers into words. In the beginning, so it is written, God merged the numbers with the letter. There are many different ways of figuring out the gematria of a word. And why haven't we heard about this? It's because who controls the media? Who controls the schools? The elite cabal are obsessed with numbers and rituals. They study the Kabbalah, which I've mentioned before. That's where the word cabal comes from. And as part of their practice, they are well versed in gematria. The elite that control the 5 to 6 corporations that control the media code all their stories, and apparently they also code the sports. So, I mean, if you figure out gematria and you bet on a sports, you can probably win some money there. So it's all about code. It's like coding a computer, but they code our reality with this and perform rituals. And it actually sounds insane if you don't know the spiritual side of it. But Max Tegmark, a Swedish-American physicist, cosmologist, and machine learning researcher, believes that everything in the universe, humans included, is part of a mathematical structure. All matter is made up of particles which have properties such as charge and spin, but these properties are purely mathematical, he says. And space itself has properties such as dimensions, but it's still ultimately a mathematical structure. And this kind of coincides with the CERN episode and how they started coding reality without even realizing it. And I feel like CERN has been coming up in each episode. I found this from another article where I was simply just looking up the relation to math and the universe, and they mentioned CERN. So this is from that article. The prescience of mathematics seems no less miraculous today. At the Large Hadron Collider at CERN near Geneva, Switzerland, physicists recently observed the fingertips of a particle that was arguably discovered 48 years ago lurking in the equations of particle physics. How is it possible that mathematics knows about Higgs particle or any other feature of physical reality? Maybe it's because math is reality, says physicist Brian Green. Perhaps if we dig deep enough, we would find out that physical objects like tables and chairs are ultimately not. And we kind of know that now. I should have checked how old this article was, but with the CIA documents saying that we're basically living in a hologram because everything's made up of numbers and it's energy. And I've mentioned this probably in every episode now, but numbers radiate frequency and vibration, just how the atoms in our skin do. So it makes sense. And they use gematria to manipulate the code, quote unquote. They manipulate events, and that's how they complete rituals. This is from an article I was reading this on, and it just validates more spiritual aspect to this. We need to look beyond the facades of what has been painted to us for so long. Outside of the 9/11 conspiracy theory and truth movement, there is also an eerie spiritual side to it, a very real hidden truth of life that we have been dealing with for eons, and that is the creation of illusion as well as spiritual warfare. And that's a good intro to the 9/11 stuff. So the reason I was talking about gematria is because the 9/11 gematria is extensive, and I'll try to cover most of it so you guys can understand. So for example, 9/11 is a secret occult number. When you add up each digit, it adds to 11. Some dark occultists see 9/11 as a way to represent the number 92. And in this case, the 9 is kept and 11 is converted to 2. And 92 is said to be an extremely dark occult number used for black magic. The number 9 in Western numerology, namely the Pythagoras method, can represent death, destruction, and endings. It is well known as signifying an end of a cycle. 9 can bring up drama, karma, chaos, and it has a lot to do with ego and illusions. 11 is a master number, giving it extra potential and power. 11 can be dramatic, emotionally charged, and overwhelming, and it amplifies vibrations. And this is just the dark side of gematria and numerology, because like I said, I also believe in angel numbers. And in the sense of these numbers being good, the way I see them, the way it is in my reality, is that number 9, since it is death, destruction, and endings, it's like an end of a cycle and something had to come down for it to be rebuilt. That's like the positive side of it. And number 11 is very powerful. That's why usually when you're going through a spiritual awakening, you will see 11-11 everywhere for you to wake up, and it amplifies your vibrations. That's just the good side of it. But of course, right now we're talking about the evil side of it, the dark side of it. So some researchers say to add 9 is to add illusion or ego or base consciousness. And when you add the beast, based consciousness, you can never affect any change in value. You bring no value to the equation, you are adding zero. So the idea is that nothing is added, only illusion. 9/11 is about trickery, smoky mirrors, and illusion. They tricked us to an aggressive agenda of war and terror. This is where y'all are going to be like, okay, you're looking way too into this. It's just a bunch of numbers. Because when I read it, I was like, this is so much. I actually started learning about Gematria when I looked into George Floyd's death, because there's a lot there too. And it actually had ties to what happened on 9/11. But we can talk about that another episode if you guys want. So why would they go through all this trouble to do this? And that was my question. And then I remembered who we're dealing with. The former Twin Towers of the World Trade Center stood proudly as two prominent pillars, forming the numeric vertical structure and appearance of the number 11. The towers standing side by side, like the number 11, had 110 floors, and 1 plus 1 plus 0 equals 11. Like I said, this is extensive, so get ready for it. The local radio station, hashtag QQ, was also housed there, and their icon was the image of the Twin Towers standing for the number 11. The tower is 1776 feet in height, and in 1776, the Illuminati was formed, and it was also the 4th of July, and half of 1776 is the number 888, and 888 is translated, I guess, or has connections to a Bible verse, and it means the salvation of our God. However, I don't think they're talking about our God, they're talking about their God, which by now we should know is not the same God. And I mean, looking into the definition of salvation, it also means liberation of ignorance and illusion, preservation from destruction or failure. So I think that was just protecting them from failing this ritual. Other coincidences are New York is the 11th state to be added to the Union. I mean, these aren't coincidences, but New York City has 11 letters. The plane that hit the North Tower was flight number 11 because it was flight AA, which by now we know that they changed the letters to numbers, and AA equals 11. 92 people on board died. Like we said, 92 is not a good number, and 9 plus 2 equals 11. The time of impact was 8:46 a.m., 8 plus 4 plus 6 equals 18, which breaks down to 9. The plane that hit the tower had 65 passengers, 6 plus 5 equals 11. It struck 9 floors altogether between the 77th and 85th floor. The south tower collapsed after 56 minutes, 5 plus 6 equals 11. The north tower collapsed at 10:28 a.m., 1 plus 0 plus 2 plus 8 equals 11. According to Fritz Springmeier, on 9/11/1972, exactly 19 years before 9/11, Muslim terrorists were said to have killed 11 Israeli Olympic athletes in the Munich attack. And then on 9/11/1990, President George Bush told Congress, "Out of these struggling times, we conceive our fifth objective, a new world order coming into view, where a nation joined the common cause to reach the common aspirations of mankind." Exactly 11 years later, to the day 9/11 happened. Not a coincidence. Hauntingly, exactly 911 days after 9/11 attacks, there was another negative event in the media, the Madrid train bombings. It is said that that very day, the owner of the World Trade Center bought another tower, the Sears Tower, and yep, it was $911 million. Another interesting fact is that the World Trade Center took 11 years to build. Not only all that, and how George Bush literally mentioned New World Order, and he said it was inevitable, the tragedy of 9/11 reflects the secret Masonic desire happening behind the scenes to take full control of the world by creating a one world unity type of facade with a more sinister political and economical hidden agenda. So to any person, these seem like coincidences, but like I mentioned, I think four times already, I don't believe in coincidences. Also, the 33-degree Freemasons motto is Ordo Ab Chao, which means order out of chaos. And David created his own way of explaining it, calling it problem reaction solution, which by now you guys are probably tired of me talking about it. George Bush also has said it will take time to restore order out of chaos, but we will. Seeing it's just these little things that you can point out. One significant thing that David Icke points out and that not a lot of people know about is that there was a third tower. Some people have never seen or even heard about the destruction of Building 7, a 47-story building across the street from the North Tower. For many people, it was seeing Building 7 fall that brought them into this 9/11 truth movement and questioning it. Building 7 came down at 5:20 in the evening of 9/11, even though it was not hit by an airplane and only had fires on a few floors. If you have ever seen a controlled demolition on TV, that is what the collapse of Building 7 looked like. It was a bottom-up demolition, which gave an inclination that there was bombs included in this mass destruction, and a lot of people still think that, and I will, I guess, give you guys proof in a second, because in the book, The Rise of the New World Order, The Culling of Man, he goes in on this. So in the book, he says, it turns out that evidence of thermite was found by independent researchers at all three collapse areas at the World Trade Center, including undetonated military-grade nanothermite, which is a specialized compound created in sophisticated military labs, not Afghanistan caves, meaning someone had to have access to the stuff to plant it. So I want to read quotes from this book I keep referring to before I go on. So the first one is, this present window of opportunity during which a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built will not be open for too long. We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. By David Rockefeller on September 23rd, 1994. That's interesting that he said that. And then another quote is, I mean, this is just the author saying this. He says, I've already heard the term the age of conspiracy about the mainstream media, implying that there are so many theories about what is really happening in the world that people are becoming brainwashed by lies, propaganda, and paranoia, and therefore a threat to society. Like the documentary said, over all the evil conspiracy theories out there. This is literally a preemptive strike by the proponents of the Great Plan, aka the elite, because they know what is coming. Planting the seed that 1. Nothing on the internet can be trusted. 2. People who believe the internet over the mainstream media are crazy conspiracy theorists. And I talked about this too in my anti-Semitism video that I posted on TikTok. I mean, I've said it before a million times how they push out these fake conspiracy theories and muddy the water to make us sound crazy. And if we believe everything, then we're just crazy conspiracy theorists. Okay, moving on. Why did they do it and how did they do it? So to sum it up, they did it to have an excuse to go to war, blood sacrifice, and to keep us in fear. So I'm going to explain how he explained it, because he explains it way better than I can. So he explained it in like 7 points. So the first one, to stun the American public into believing that they need to unequivocally 100% rely on the feds to protect them via the Patriot Act / Homeland Security. When in fact, it's the people like them who we should be protected from. Number 2, to shock the American public so badly that all other domestic issues going on will seem negligible in comparison, such as the day before 9/11, when Donald Rumsfeld was on TV talking about how $2.3 trillion was missing from the Pentagon, and no one ever talked about it again because 9/11 happened. 3, to excuse injecting out military presence in the Middle East more so. After the Gulf War, which is the war that I believe Kennedy didn't want us to go to, they set up their bases. After 9/11, they fully moved into the Middle East. Number 4, to feed the beast that is the military-industrial complex. I can talk about that more in depth another time if you guys want, but the military-industrial complex has a lot to do with this. Untold trillions of dollars have been spent and misspent since we invaded the Middle East in late 2001, lining the pockets of the weapons manufacturers that are owned through stock holdings by many of the elite. Number 5, to tighten the Illuminati's grip over the globe's energy resources by increased control of oil via U.S. occupation in the Middle East. And number 6, to excuse the setting up of a police state in the U.S. via the 21st century Nazis' Homeland Security. So he's basically comparing Homeland Security to the Nazis. I mean, he did write this in 2010, and I can tell he's done a lot of research, so I don't know. But this is from Rise of the New World Order. And he has some heavy claims. I mean, most of it he does say, don't believe me, but a lot of it he does say, like, these are facts. He also talks about this group called the Project for a New American Century, which was established in the spring of 1997. And it is a neoconservative think tank whose goal was to usher in the New World Order. The neocons, I guess that's what he calls it, are a right wing of the Republican Party. So during 2000 and 2008, they were the ones who were actually running the show. And I mean, that could potentially still be it to this day. They took us back to Iraq, and Dick Cheney, sorry, I'm going to probably butcher these names, but he mentions Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, and Richard Pearl were the ones forging the Bush policy and were a part of the neocons, and Bush basically just spoke out like a puppet, but they were basically the people behind the scenes pulling the strings. He also quoted their agenda, and it says, so I guess he found this from a document of the Rebuilding America's Defenses Strategy, Forces, and Resources for a New Century. This was contained in a PNAC report issued in September. And it says, further, the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor, aka a new false flag event. That was literally just quoted from that document. So basically, the Illuminati needed a new Pearl Harbor to open up the next front of their agenda. And the Bush cabal intentionally let down their guard to let them proceed with the plan. He also quotes an FBI spokesman named Rex Toome, who said, there was no hard evidence that connected 9/11 to Osama bin Laden. So they use that as an excuse to start two wars that didn't really have to happen because it was an inside job. There was also some sketchy stuff that no one ever seemed to question. Not only the coincidences with the numbers, but witnesses say that they only saw one plane hit. A bunch of people in the media kept messing up, and I don't know if you can still find these clips. They're probably all deleted, but some people that were like live on the set were saying that it looked like bombs. And of course, maybe they weren't supposed to say that, but a lot of people who work for the media don't know what they're doing. You know, they're just told what to say. So because they were live on site, they were just saying what they were seeing. And I remember seeing this video of this guy talking about the Pentagon too, how he didn't see a plane hit or anything like that. People said that the clouds looked like smoke bombs, smoke from a bomb. Firefighters, pilots, and researchers found heavy conflicting evidence. I mean, I'm sure we've all heard about this stuff by now and how long some people investigated this stuff. I mean, there was a whole truth movement about it. But I think it's funny that no one in the government further investigated. I mean, they said they did. They had the 9/11 commission, but they also had a commission for Kennedy's assassination. And we all remember how that went because they created the word conspiracy theory. So can we really trust them? I mean, at this point, I don't. I mean, I always said I didn't, but there was also a lot of security footage that went missing from the Pentagon and the towers, like the gas stations around, everything like that. So how convenient is that? There was so much sneaky stuff they did, and it was so perfectly orchestrated. Like, I'm impressed, but also shocked. And I just gave you a gist of kind of what happened, but David Icke has a whole book on this called The Trigger. And I believe there's a podcast episode where he's with, I forget his name, London Real, I think. And he talks all about it. Honestly, it's like 2 hours long. And the other book had 4 chapters on this. So it's not like people are just pulling this information out of their ass. And you guys have to understand that the 1%, the elite, isn't just like 50 people. The 1% of 7.8 billion people is roughly around like 7 million people. So they have people. They have their people's hands in everything who can pull this stuff off. So yeah, it's just a lot. It's a lot of information. Like I said, I didn't go too much into detail, but that was just some of the stuff that really stood out to me. And the fact that they found the evidence of the bombs that only our military has, which is kind of like, okay, bro, what's going on? Yeah, there's so much sketchy stuff. But like I said, I do pay my respects and love to those affected by this. And it's just a very tragic event. And it was literally just a problem, reaction, solution, because like David Icke says, he says that they can't just tell you we're going to go to war, because then people are going to be like, why? Like, there's no reason to go to war. So instead of telling us that they're going to do something, they cause a problem. They get our reaction, which is, okay, we need safety. Like, we just got a terrorist attack. What's going on? We're mad. And so it causes an emotional reaction. And then their solution is basically what they wanted the whole time. And I know I've explained that before. Okay, I hope that all made sense. Like I said, it was a lot to read and a lot to look into, so I didn't want to make this too long, but kind of give you just like the gist of it. And it's insane. And I kind of believe it. I mean, there was always memes about Bush did 9/11, Bush didn't, and I never really thought anything of it. Never really was into politics. I never really paid attention to that. But now I'm just like, Bush did 9/11. I might make that a shirt. Okay. Let's move on to questions of the week, because I don't want to make this episode too long. All right, so questions of the week. First one. Hi, Kelsey. I've been seeing a lot of shadow silhouettes lately. Have you experienced this? Yeah, actually. I mean, I've mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. I think like the first week that they said that the portal opened, which was like August 20th, I was seeing a lot of spirits and, well, at the corner of my eye. And then I saw the woman in my room that one time. I see like balls and flashes of light, and it's because of the veil getting thinner. So don't be scared. It's just we're seeing through the veil. Next question. So what are you going to do if they make you get the vaccine? Because I don't know what to do. So there have been some ways where you can deny it. I just saw a TikTok today. Shout out to Dan because he sent it to me. This guy was explaining that if you ask if it has MRC5 in it, then you can legally decline it. Also, another question you can ask is if there's a possibility of an allergic reaction, then you can politely decline it. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard if, for example, at work, some of your jobs will require it. I mean, my mom's probably going to have to take it because she's a medical assistant, which is kind of scary. And then my dad works for TSA, so he's probably going to have to take it too, which is kind of scary, but hoping for the best. Next question. So I get you with the spirituality and awakening journey, but opening your third eye kind of gives me Adam and Eve forbidden fruit vibes. And I know you're not religious, so maybe even mentioning the Bible is irrelevant to you. But it does state that in the time of awakening, the end is near. What do you think about dabbling in the possible forbidden fruit, which is what opened Adam and Eve's eyes to greater knowledge? So I agree that the power the third eye holds can be used malevolently. However, I think that's where your free will comes in, giving you the choice to eat the forbidden fruit and use it for evil or use it to better humanity. How the elite choose to use their spirituality for evil, we can also use ours for good, because we can see beyond their lies, we can see things that other people can't see. But of course, with power comes consequences. What's that saying? With power comes responsibility. So I don't think that I'm using it for evil at all. In fact, I feel like I am capable of attaining more knowledge about what they're doing, because I can see through their lies kind of thing. But I mean, I get what you're saying. Next question. Do you think that winning jackpot lottery numbers are a part of numerology or something? We need to crack the code, LOL. Honestly, there might be an algorithm to it. I think people have actually won that way by simply studying the algorithm. I'm pretty sure I saw a guy on TikTok talk about it. But yeah, it's definitely possible. Next one. So, love your podcast. Have you heard about the human meat that was found at McDonald's locations? Do you believe that? What are your thoughts? Well, first of all, thank you. And yes, I have heard of this and I find it quite disturbing, but I'm not surprised. And it's funny now that Travis Scott has a burger with them. It just validates more that McDonald's has ties to the Illuminati trying to poison us. And the fact that Travis Scott has a huge fan base, which are mostly the younger generation. Since Travis Scott has such a big fan base, I feel like he's not manipulating people to eat their burger. But if Travis Scott has a burger, you're going to eat it if you're his fan. At least when I was a Justin Bieber fan, I would do anything for him. So yeah, it's kind of scary. Next one. Hi, Kelsey. This may be a reach, but for a few days, this guy kept coming to mind, and it was just something I couldn't shake. We are not friends on social media anymore, but I looked him up and realized he had been in a horrible car accident, and I had been praying. Do you think the universe is trying to let me know? It's just so weird to me. We don't even talk. Dang. Well, first of all, I'm so sorry that that happened. But your intuition was definitely telling you something. This has happened in so many stories I've read about people knowing their loved ones were going to pass. And this has happened to me before a certain event happened. There was one time in high school that I got in a car accident. My mom felt it right before. And it's just like how I talk about how we both feel things before they happen. So your intuition is always telling you, whether it's telling you if a situation you're in is good or bad, or it's going to tell you that one of your loved ones is going to pass or something happened to them. But that's interesting that you guys weren't close. It's usually more common when it's people close to you, but maybe he was a huge part of your journey and you guys had a soul tie that you didn't know. But that's crazy. But yeah, every time you think of someone or they think of you, either, well, there's a lot of theories about that. Like if you think of someone, sometimes it's them thinking of you and they're just manifesting you. So you just think of them. That also happens in dreams. Or if you think of someone and you just have like a bad feeling about it, maybe they're going through something. Maybe they need someone to talk to, or maybe stuff like this. So always check up on your loved ones or people that you randomly think about. It really is just your intuition letting you know. And I think it's so crazy, but also really cool. And I feel like people should be more aware of that. Okay, next one. For someone that is really new to researching all these topics on their own and wanting to keep an open mind, how do you decipher what articles are left or right-winged? Mason. Hi, Mason. So I think I can just tell right off the bat. I also don't fully ingest the mainstream media articles, like how Fox is right and CNN or MSNBC are left, but I will look at them to get both sides of the story sometimes. But right off the bat, I can tell when the article or the journalist is either right or left wing. I go for more of the unbiased ones, because if they start talking about how Trump is going to save the world, then I'm like, okay, definitely right. Or if they talk really bad about Trump, then I'm like, are you in the middle? Are you on the left side? But then if they start talking about Biden too, then I'm like, okay, you're in the middle. So it's really tricky, but you just have to point these little things out. Because like I said, I don't like biased content, but I will look at it. I will read it to get further information. I don't disregard it, but it's just really being careful. I hope this kind of helps. Last one, and this one's kind of long. My dad's dad and grandpa were 33-degree Freemasons. They were well off, but not rich, but rich for the town they were living in. But they both died before I could talk to them. My dad is heavy into conspiracy theories, very woke, 55-year-old, and he says only some 33-degree are bad, not all. I looked through the Freemason book my grandpa had, and most of it is Bible verses and stuff. Maybe there's normal people out there used to cover them up. But also, in my dad's side, almost everyone's firstborn died weeks after birth, making me question that Freemasons may be unaware that they may have gotten their firstborn killed because the group they were in seemed innocent. I don't. It's very strange. And my dad is all Christian now when he used to not be very into it. And his dad told him to make sure to go to God and not make the same mistakes he did. It makes me wonder if it was good intentions or not. Wow, that's crazy. And you're not the first one to tell me. Some of you guys have been messaging me. I've gotten like 3 or 4 messages about how your family members were or are 33 Freemasons. I got this DM the other day from a different girl who said her dad was also a 33. I think it was her dad or her grandpa. And he had the Bible, but he would not answer any questions she had or let her read it. I also have a book called 33 Degrees of Deception, and he talks about all the mistakes he made following his father's footsteps into joining. However, I can't fully speak on if all the 33 degrees are evil or not, because obviously I've never been in it. But from what I've gotten is that just the 33 are evil, and the rest of the Freemasons are a front as a charitable fraternal group, so no one will suspect a thing. Which is kind of funny. And The part about the firstborns dying, that is crazy. Because, I mean, there is a theory that all the celebrities have to sacrifice their firstborn. And we know that the Illuminati infiltrated the 33 degree Freemasons, so they're basically one big group of evil. I mean, I don't think that your family, like, sacrifice the firstborns, but most of the times, if they do join, then kind of, not a ritual, but it's kind of, it's inevitable, and they probably will have a miscarriage, which is crazy. I mean, they claim that a lot of celebrities do sacrifice their firstborn, but a lot of times, they're just miscarriages, too. But shout out to your dad for being so into conspiracy theories. All right, so I think that's it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. I know this might have been a little boring. When I get so much information, I get so flustered, because especially with this theory, I feel like this theory was very complex, and there's so many aspects to it. I didn't even get into it, because it has a lot to do with a bunch of wars that happened and a bunch of people in the government, and very complex. But I do recommend you guys go read Rise of the New World Order, Calling a Man, or David Icke's The Trigger, or like I said, that one episode as a podcast by London Real with David Icke. But yeah, shit's crazy. I hope you guys have an amazing Friday. I hope you guys are keeping it chill. Mars is in retrograde. I don't know if you guys have heard about that yet. It started yesterday, which yesterday was the 9th, 9-9. So be careful, because it's also in Aries. So Mars retrograde in Aries will cause a lot of arguments, frustration, loss of motivation, feeling down, a lot of headaches. I had the worst migraine yesterday. When I get headaches, they're bad. And it's usually, this is going to sound stupid, but it's usually because of astrology and what's happening. I'm not even kidding you. The last full moon I had a migraine, or the new moon, and now Mars retrograde, I had the worst headache. And then I went on Twitter, and there was so many tweets of all these energy readers saying, make sure to drink lots of water and get your aspirin out, or use peppermint oil, because these headaches are coming in strong. So yeah, I felt that. It was bad. I'm also very irritated, so that's another one. And this is gonna last until November, so yay. But I mean, it is a good time to self-reflect, and it also is a good time to close out old cycles and complete karmic cycles and let go of the past to bring new things in. So at least we can look forward to that. And yeah, I mean, if you guys have any more questions about astrology, spirituality, you know I got you. Just leave me a question. You know where to go, at Woke with Kels on Instagram and Twitter. The link is in my bio to ask me questions. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Love you. Bye.